Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
Hopefully this one isn't irrelevant 2 hours after we record it this time.
I know, right?
That Ryan... We talked the NHL
how
free
about,
agency.
Like, how about that? We do the podcast on Sunday. It's uploaded and everything. And then literally like two or three hours later, Ryan O'Reilly gets traded.
It's immediately irrelevant.
Yeah.
It is not worth anything anymore. And we should have held off until the night then, Frank, if we were psychics.
Well, later that night.
Yeah.
Because we did held off a little bit.
We held off, but then we still had to have waited longer for that to actually have been the reaction.
But we also wasn't sure, you know, if and when O'Reilly was going to get moved anyway.
But it happened. The return did happen. The return, obviously big. Vladimir Sobotka, Patrick Berglund.
Yep.
Kind of like your... throw-in cap-eating pieces. The main pieces, the 2019 first-rounder that is top-10 protected.
Yep.
The 2020 second-rounder and...
2021.
Oh, it's 2021. Okay. Yeah. And the
Tage Thompson,
6'5", 20 years old.
6'5", 200 pounds.
He still could add more to that frame. That's the scary thing.
He's a twig.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
And he could get bigger.
Yeah.
But if he could skate well, that's all that matters to me. So, Frank, what are your thoughts? Was it not enough? Did you think they got a good deal in it?
Well, obviously, I would have loved to see them get Robert Thomas or Jordan Kyrou. I think everyone did. I like Tage Thompson as a prospect. I really do like him. I think he does need to work on his skating a little bit. He's a good skater already, but... I think there is still going to be room for improvement on that. He's 20 years old. He's got 41 games of NHL experience under his belt. He's got 46 AHL games.
And people were saying
he was
that,
with Team USA in the World Championships back in May, and he didn't look too bad. He didn't look too bad in the AHL last season. Obviously, he's going to look. Like he's not ready for the NHL, which he did. He had 9 points in 41 games.
People did say he was rushed into the NHL last year by St. Louis.
And he's got a great shot.
And even Thompson
himself. He's got a great shot.
Oh, yeah.
And I do like him. I'm glad we got him. But is he going to be on the team right away? That's yet to be seen.
Right.
I think he said himself that I think they're looking for him to be in the top six this coming year.
That would give Eichel a shoot first guy that he can distribute to.
Right, but we'll have to see if he's ready for it. He might need to go to Rochester.
Yeah, and if he does start out in Rochester, it doesn't mean they suddenly quote unquote lost the trade.
Can we stop evaluating trades
when they happen?
Not even that. Like, no, it's fine to evaluate trades. Like, because you got to know, you got to look and you got to see what you got, what you gave up. But can we stop with the, this team won the trade and this team lost the trade?
Can we stop with that? Ryan O'Reilly might take a huge step back.
It's not even that. It's just, it's dumb in general.
Yeah.
I just think when you say this team won the trade and then this team lost the trade,
nothing happened yet.
Yeah, like it's just, why does it matter?
It matters because of validation, or to make yourself hope that your organization.
But you make a trade for a reason.
Well, yeah, but for example, if Ottawa trades Carlson, they're going to get pennies on the dollar because teams know that he's going to walk for nothing.
Right.
That's how you can lose a trade.
They're gonna, but that's the thing is that no matter what Ottawa does in terms of Carlson, they're gonna lose the trade no matter what. So why does it matter in terms of who won and who lost the trade? The Sabres were gonna lose the trade no matter what because Ryan O'Reilly's the best player in the deal. So why should we even be saying, you know, St. Louis won the trade or Buffalo won the trade or vice whatever?
I think it's fair.
Why does it, like, why do we have to say one team won the trade? In just in general. Just in general.
One, to answer your question, I think it's for the validation of fans.
It's dumb.
Two,
it's dumb.
For me, I don't like saying it right away. Unless a team truly got fleeced. And this is not that case. This is one of those things where you're going to have to wait and see.
I think if it's a true fleece, then you're looking at a different story.
There were a lot of assets given up in the Evander Kane trade, for example.
Sure, but I would have also compared the Burroughs-Dahlin trade.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, last year, you know, okay, Vancouver won that trade easily because Jonathan Dahlin's really good.
Yeah, and you're getting a guy that can only max out in 2 years for Ottawa.
But the Ryan O'Reilly trade. I don't think there is a winner, and I don't think there will be a winner.
There's so much that has to still play out now.
And I don't think it matters. I don't think it should matter whether there's a winner or not in this trade.
Yes, I mean, while I do agree with that, some of it is for fan validation, and I'm
starting to just hate that.
Oh, yeah, of course. It doesn't mean just it's not
hate,
right.
I'm but just starting to hate it so
I'm
much.
Stating why it exists. Just
I
like
know,
how
I
you,
understand.
Just like how you squashed my dreams of RFA offer sheets on Sunday.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you why this happens. It's because fans like to feel the validation.
Yeah.
And look, like you said, Ryan O'Reilly was the best player that was going to be traded in this deal. And that's what happens in these kinds of situations. However, what is not known yet is what can become of Tage Thompson. What do the Sabres do with that selection?
Yeah.
And finally, what does it mean for both teams going forward? For the Sabres in this trade, Thompson aside,
more picks,
not even that,
and another prospect. That's definitely what it is.
But there's something not being covered in this.
What's that?
Depth. Yeah. Say what you want about Sobotka and Berglund and them being probable cap dumps to help make this trade possible. The Sabres haven't had depth.
Yeah,
you could put these guys
definitely.
You could put these guys in your bottom six, and it will actually matter. So, look, I'm not saying that Vladimir Sobotka or Patrick Berglund are going to go ahead and put up more than 30 points for this team this year.
I think
what I am saying, though, is that if they get 20 to 25 points,
to be fair,
it's a bonus.
So, a couple things, too. Yeah, I think they're banking at Berglund's going to have a bounce back year because he can put up points. We know he can. I've seen him do it.
Honestly, I'm expecting.
I mean, 26 points, 57 games last season. I mean, he's had some rough years. He scored 23 goals a couple seasons ago. He can definitely put the puck in the net, but it's just there's been a lot of struggles with him over the last few years. Especially
sounds
with
like
injury.
Last year was an injury issue.
It was
because
an injury.
He only played 52 games. How many was it?
57.
57 games, and he still put up 26 points.
Not terrible.
I just said that I'm not expecting them to score 30.
And he did that.
And he almost did that in 60 games.
I think they're hoping that if Berglund stays healthy, he can put up 40 points.
And that would be gravy.
And that would be great.
30 points is a bonus for me.
But when you talked about depth, so then they turned one player into potentially three.
On the roster.
Whole line.
On the roster this year.
Yeah. Potentially, guarantee two, potentially three.
And that is how you avoid what Tage Thompson said in the conference call, pigeonholing someone into a role that they're not supposed to
be
in.
Yes.
You can avoid that by putting Vladimir Sobotka on your third or fourth line.
But that's why I also said more picks and prospects because they need as many picks and prospects as they can in order for this mess of a franchise to be rebuilt.
You think they're done yet? I think there's one more move in them.
Something tells me if they make another move, it's not a trade. It's a signing, but it's not going to be a big one. It might just be a small step move.
I think there's a minor trade coming. Why? Here's why. They have 11 NHL defensemen on their roster.
Yeah. Well,
10, maybe 11.
Yeah, because you got Dahlin.
Dahlin, Risto, Scandella.
Yep.
McCabe, Bogosian, Beaulieu.
Sick.
Gouley, Nelson.
And now Hunwick.
And now Hunwick.
So that's 9.
Pilute.
Pilute's going to start in Rochester.
If he competes well enough.
But he would have to blow the doors open for him to.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm saying
so
they're not
potentially 10. I'd say guarantee 9, potentially 10.
And then, who was it that was pointed out to me yesterday?
Borgen?
I don't think Borgen's ready.
No,
he's I think it was one of their like AHLer guys that they would that
I mean,
they would call
you have I mean Tennyson's still here.
Ugh. I'm not going to count
Fadoon's that. Still here.
I'm not going to count that.
That's really it.
They're though. Your Rochester guys that if
oh,
you
Oh, and then Hickey.
Oh, right, Brandon Hickey. That was the
and
one
then
that
Hickey.
Was like. So But I think Hickey starts off
Hickey,
in Rochester.
I think that's all. I think that is all Rochester. Rochester's decor going to next season is you got Tennyson, you got Fadoon, Hickey, and Pilute. Right there, there's 4.
And you could call up Tennyson for like a game or two if there's enough injuries to be a problem.
And then just whoever else is there.
I think they might still ship off one more defenseman. Because even then, you still have Dahlin, Risto, Scandella, McCabe, Bogosian, Nelson, Gouley, Beaulieu. That's 8.
And then you add Hunwick.
And Hunwick is 9.
Yeah.
Even with a bunch of injuries, someone deserving of at least a third pairing is... Mm. 2 people at least deserving of a third pairing are being put on their ass every night.
I can see what you're saying in terms of a minor trade there. They might trade
They might just like swap a defenseman for a forward to get some more depth up front.
I can see that happening.
Because they have depth now on the blue line.
Or maybe trade like... Or maybe then they flip a guy like Hunwick. Or maybe they flip Beaulieu and get a pick.
I would suspect they flip Beaulieu over Hunwick.
I would suspect that too.
Because, I mean, yes, you do want to expect that Sherry is going to get you 40 points or 20 goals. But the condition is they cannot trade Hunwick before the 2019 draft.
That's true.
So...
That's true. Why I would say Beaulieu first.
If they flip someone, it might be Beaulieu. If they want to try to get some scoring in addition, it might be Scandella or McCabe.
I would say it's McCabe first.
Yes, the team-friendly contract.
Yeah.
But he, like Scandella, if I'm not mistaken, have only 1 year left on their deal, right?
Scandella's got 2.
Oh, Scandella's got 2, so that would give a little more incentive to teams to pay up something
McCabe's
better.
McCabe's got 1, and he's an RFA with arbitration. Beaulieu, same thing, 1 year RFA arbitration. And then you got... Hunwick, Scandella, and Bogosian, all who have 2 years left.
Yeah, so the Sabres do have some... They have a little more work to do, I think, this year. Get me one more forward. And I think they have that move left in them. Does it happen? Maybe, maybe not. Does it happen might, at training camp, maybe?
It might even be like you flip Beaulieu and get another like minor league forward.
Or do what you did with the Beaulieu trade last year. You have a third-round pick, you dish Beaulieu. Now... You're probably getting a 4th or a 5th.
Still, to take it, you know,
you
honestly.
You take a pick for it.
Because like I said, with the way Botrel has done and what they need to do, they need as many picks as they can to really rebuild this team. They're heading in that direction. You've got 3 first-round picks.
They have 3 first-round picks.
I mean, at worst... They would have 3 first-round picks in 2020, at very worst.
At the worst, in case the Blues end up in the top 10.
And San Jose.
Oh, yeah.
And if San Jose misses.
Good.
Then
Lord.
You have 2 second-round picks in 2021. So you still have San Jose's 4th. It could turn into a 3rd in 2020, but I don't think so. I'd be more safe to say that's a 4th-round pick next year.
Yeah, would you rather give a 4th-rounder?
You don't have a 5th.
Simple.
You don't have a 5th-round pick because you traded it for Scott Wilson last year. Fine. Yep. But you got 2 6. More pick. And just if you get another pick out of it, give me more. Give me more. Because at this point, in order for the Sabres to really accelerate a rebuild, they need as many picks as they can and then hope that those picks turn into something.
I will say this now. There's a question for you.
What's that?
As this goes forward, maybe it's the optimism. Maybe it's the good feels. Before I ask you this question, I'll ask you something else. Overall, how do you think July 1st went for the Sabres? With the O'Reilly deal, with the players they brought in, and
the only thing I was surprised about...
Are you happy about the deal overall?
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing I was surprised about was the fact that Buffalo did not pay the signing bonus for O'Reilly.
I know.
I thought that they would pay for it to try to get more.
I think what was happening
or even still take what they can get for O'Reilly. But at the same time, it maybe doesn't really come as a shock.
It doesn't come as a shock to me, and it's something that Paul Hamilton said, actually. In the event, yes, the Sabres would have started asking for more if they paid for the bonus, so mm-hmm. I didn't suspect any trade was going to happen on July 1. I thought it was going to happen July 2.
See, and that was kind of something that I was thinking, too. Like, maybe they...
Which is probably why we recorded the podcast sooner.
Well, it was more of... they pay the bonus, and then they up the price for O'Reilly, but then no team takes.
That's exactly what Paul Hamilton was saying, was, you know, it was more of, if we pay the bonus, we're going to ask for more, and St. Louis is going to back off the table. I think the Sabres got what they could, and what they got was a lot of things.
Yeah.
They got depth for this year so that they can be better this year.
They literally turned one player into five things.
Real quick for me. I don't have Cap Friendly up. And I have
Cap Friendly up because I love this website.
Saboka and Berglund, what's their term looking like going forward?
Saboka has 2 years left on his deal at 3.5.
Very manageable.
He's a free agent after 2020. Berglund has 4 years left.
So Berglund's the cap hit that they wanted to move. What's the cap hit?
3.85.
That's rough.
It's not that bad.
It's a little rough.
No, I think the cap that they wanted to move was Saboka because he's at 3.5.
I think Saboka, it's a little more manageable because of term. Berglund, it's term.
Yes, but you're also paying 3.5 for a Vladimir Saboka who probably is just a fourth liner.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Patrick Berglund, that's one, yes, it's a longer deal, but... He's also a guy you can put him up and down your lineup.
Now, ready?
Utility player.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw something back at you. You ready? It's something that I like to bring up every now and then with cap problems.
Sure.
Seattle's coming around in a couple years. You're not protecting Patrick Berglund. You might be able to entice with all the futures that you have.
Yeah.
You may be able to entice a team. Say Berglund doesn't bounce back, and he is what he is, which is a struggling player at this point.
Or even he does. You know what? You might even get lucky. He does have a bounce back, and a team and the Seattle team's like, oh, we'll just take him.
He's looked good the last couple years. You can utilize.
Yeah, he's looked good the last couple years, and you don't have to give anything up to do it.
Yeah.
I would say this trade wouldn't affect Buffalo's potential plans for the expansion.
I think it betters their plans for the expansion.
I do think it betters their plans. It will give Seattle, future Seattle, more options.
Yeah. The futures that you have, you can even go ahead and say Berglund only puts up 10 to 12 points for you for some reason, unfortunately.
He did have 30 points last year.
Yeah. And again, through... what was an injury-riddled campaign?
No, I'm talking about Saboka, too.
Oh, Saboka, yeah.
Saboka had 30 points last year, too.
So you can entice a Seattle team with everything else that you've got. You could be like, hey, man, we can throw an extra second your way if you want to take Patrick Berglund off our hands or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think that this trade absolutely betters their situation for the expansion draft if you want to think further down the road. But the main thing for me right now is right now.
Yeah.
Depth.
Depth right now.
You got players to help you get through more this year as well as in the future.
Yep.
The future thing was going to be guaranteed.
Yep.
You wanted a guy who'd possibly be NHL ready as a prospect. You wanted an NHL player as well, and you wanted a first round pick. They checked all three of those boxes off.
And they got two NHL players.
The only thing what they didn't get was a prospect in addition. And I can deal with that. Mostly because of the fact that I'm buying in on the fact that Ryan O'Reilly was not the kindest of soldiers of the locker room.
I don't know about that. We still don't know.
Of course we don't know. And it's not very public, these sorts of things.
Yeah, these things are really not going to be public until later on.
Not even later on. That's something that generally isn't often exposed.
Sometimes, but you might get something, you know, where sometimes down the road, you know, O'Reilly might be in an interview or somebody or a Sabre now be interview and might even be asked about O'Reilly and then they just spill the beans. Because sometimes that happens. But I don't think we can definitively prove that O'Reilly was a cancer in the locker room.
I'm not saying necessarily cancer, but I am saying...
Or at least a problem.
I'm saying I'm kind of buying into the suspicion.
I don't know. I can't do that right now. Even after the trade, I can't buy into that.
Yeah.
Because if he was truly a problem in the locker room, don't you think you would have seen it on the ice? Because if we know that there are problems in the locker room, and for a lot of players, that can affect how they are on the ice. For Ryan O'Reilly, he was their second best player. He was their workhorse. He was playing all the minutes for a forward. He was taking all the faceoffs, and he still put up 60 points. Yeah. And he was still like I said, he was the hardest worker on the ice every night.
All right. Again, I'm just, when there is smoke, there tends to be fire.
Yeah, that's true. That's true too. I'm not gonna doubt any of it. If it does come out and, you know, like if there are problems in St. Louis and they are having locker room issues, that smoke becomes a lot bigger. Because St. Louis hasn't had any locker room issues before in years past. Now they trade for Ryan O'Reilly. And with the suspicions of him being bad in the locker room here, if it translates to St. Louis, then that smoke becomes a lot bigger.
Yeah.
So I can't, it's hard to think that that is the case now, but if it happens in the future with St. Louis and it does come out that O'Reilly really isn't the greatest teammate and everything,
Then there's a pattern.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you saw the suspicions in Colorado. Now there's possible suspicions in Buffalo. If it happens again in St. Louis, well...
Exactly.
Then you've got something there.
Exactly.
Now I've got a more fun question for you.
What's that?
It's probably a given that the Sabres cannot be as bad as they were last year.
They're going to be better.
At the very least in terms of watchability.
They're going to be more fun.
In the standings, they need to at least be better.
They have to be. They cannot go any lower than where they were in the standings.
Exactly. You'd have to be tank
There's
team.
No way. Like
at the start of the season, they were outpacing tank team.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. So they had 62 points?
Two-part question for you.
What's that?
Okay. Ready? One. If the Sabres end up on another poor start, do you think Phil Housley gets Ron Ralston'd? And I'm talking the start they had last year where they're dead by November.
They might. He might.
Because you shuffled up the talent, you got some more quality on your blue line, and you even changed up your goalie core. How much of that at that point then do you go ahead and start looking at the coach and going, dude, we might actually have a problem because we were actually at least below average under Bylsma?
They might.
You might start turning your eye to that.
Yeah.
But two, and this is the more positive side of things, the Sabres do get better. And the next thing you know, they're contending for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Do you look into trading one of those first rounders for not a rental to get you to the playoffs, but a player that has a little bit of more term that can help you with scoring touch to get into the playoffs that year, and he has term that you can at least have him for a couple of years? Do you start throwing some of that draft capital around?
If a player like that becomes available in next year's deadline, I think that's something you can look.
Jeff Skinner, Max Pacioretty. You can try to extend them, get a negotiation.
I'm gonna say both of them would be rentals.
Both of them would be rentals, but
that would be the problem.
Rentals also come on the cheaper.
Rentals come on the cheaper.
And if you can have an agreement in principle.
But that even those two, that would all depend, because both of them might still get traded this summer.
That's true.
And they might get traded to teams where they sign new deals with them. I think it depends on if that's their need.
Right.
They may not need to trade for if they might can be able to contend for a playoff spot next year, which kind of realistically doubt it, but if they do, there's a chance they may not need to trade for four because it might not be their need to. They might have enough forwards, enough scoring power to do it because players are having good years where you don't need to do that. They might be in a spot where they wouldn't have to make a move, and or they would have to do something else.
Heck, I'm not even sold that the Sabres aren't done making moves through until the start of the season.
Yeah. So if that scenario comes up where they're contending for a spot and they're looking to trade for a forward, you've got the assets to do it. You have three first round picks.
And if they're going to be making the playoffs, well, their pick starts to, you know, go down a little bit more in value.
Yeah.
As it goes further down the draft ladder.
Potentially, yeah. And then, yeah, I think if that's what they're looking at, then I wouldn't be shocked if that's what they did. I mean, New Jersey just did it.
Yeah.
Trade for Pat Maroon.
And they kept him around.
Well, no, he's a free agent.
Oh, they still haven't signed him. That's right.
He's still...
The Sabres are being linked to him a little bit, right?
Yes. Pat Maroon's pretty much the best player on the market right now, still.
Yep.
You know, we're 4 days into free agency. He still hasn't signed. Rick Nash, obviously, with the...
Rick Nash contemplating retirement.
Yeah, so...
So he's kind of let people know, saying, yeah, I'm going to take a seat here.
Yeah, he's going to wait. I mean, then you got guys like Mike Camilleri, former... And I've sorted this by points, by the way. I'm looking at just forwards and defensemen. Derek Grant's still there. He had 24 points last season.
Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah.
Poor dude couldn't buy a goal.
Yeah.
Until
Dan Hamhuis. Anthony Duclair's still available. He's been linked to the Sabres.
People are linking him to the Sabres. There haven't been reports that they've been in the discussion.
You've got Daniel Winnick, Scott Hartnell. He's still trying to. Wants to play. Marco Letestu, Tyler Ennis, who got bought out.
You want to talk about winning a trade, Frank?
Yeah. Dylan DeMello, defenseman. Good night. If the Sabres needed to sign another defenseman, I'd say go for him.
Is Calvin DeHaan still available? I think so.
Who?
Calvin DeHaan.
No, he signed last night.
Oh, he did?
He signed with Carolina last night.
Oh, good for the Canes. They needed a young defenseman replacement.
Good for Calvin DeHaan, too. He got $4.5 million.
Okay. I kind of suspected he would get a pretty good deal.
You got Scotty Upshaw, Benoit Pouliot, Alex Chiasson. Nick Shore, I think, is very interesting.
A lot of people keep saying that.
Yeah. I've seen him play. He's good. He's very good. He's got a lot of skill. He's 25.
So he might be one of those misused types?
He might be. And he'd be a guy I could tell. When you asked earlier, what other move do you see the Sabres making? A depth signing, I think, is what they would go for. And I think a Nick Shore would be perfect as that role, because he's not going to get a lot of money. And you could sign him to a one-year deal as a potential, let's see what you can do.
Right.
A lot of people think he can do what Jordan Wheel has done, where he's been that kind of late bloomer and end up becoming like a solid player. It's not going to be like on the Marchessault level, but, something similar.
Yeah.
People can totally see that happening.
So, again, really, though... At the end of this...
At the end of the day, there's really not much.
There's not much left in free agency.
Yeah.
And I suspect the Sabres have one more move left in them. I don't know when it's happening.
Yeah.
Before the start of the season. Overall, though, it makes me feel good. I like the direction Jason Botchel's taking. And I hope I'm not being played a fool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens in the prospects tournaments. Do the likes of Dahlin, Mittelstadt, if he plays.
Oh, he'll be.
Pilut, Olofsson. I don't need to see Gouley there anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, we don't.
I'm
really
sold on Brendan Gouley. But he might even play. Do those guys dominate the prospects tournament? If they do, we might have some promise here.
A lot of promise.
So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fresh about this. I like what this team is doing throughout. And it makes me feel that the Sabres are in some good hands here, especially with the fact that, like you said, Frank, there's still more coming.
Yeah.
You might even see Tage Thompson at this prospects tournament.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked either. Guy's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Would you agree with trying to trade Alex Nylander if it helped you get more scoring depth up front? Not even scoring depth, but a player that could sit in the top six.
I don't think you can. You can get that for Nylander.
No, I'm not saying straight up. Like, you have to throw him in at this point with a thing.
I don't know why you would do it.
If you can get a player that has term on their deal to sit in the top six.
Because the way with the way Nylander has been since he's been drafted here, and if anything, he's just a throw-in. He's got some value, but it's not a ton,
right?
For what an eighth overall pick should be, based on how things have gone his first 2 years. So realistically, I think at this point, there's just no point in trading him, or even packaging him in another deal. You might as Botchel has to know that Nylander has just been in situations where he just shouldn't be in. And at this point. Alex Nylander becomes the Sabres' Josh Allen. I'm going to compare them. He's their project. Whereas Josh Allen is McDermott and Bean's project.
All right.
So you might as well just keep him and try to make him into something.
Right.
And if he doesn't, pretty much by the time his contract's up, which lucky enough, his first 2 years, I believe his first 2 years did slide. So guess what? You still got Nylander under contract for another three years on his entry level, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
That really helps.
It does.
So that gives you 3 years to
turn him
into something.
Yeah. All right, Frank. What are the Islanders doing? They just traded for Matt Martin. And they signed Robin Lehner.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense.
That makes sense, but it looks like Lamoriello is ready to fight someone. Is he that mad about John Tavares?
No, I think he did what he could to try to convince Tavares to stay.
But why did he trade for Matt Martin?
Reasons?
$2.5 million. Of a cap hit over the next couple of years.
2 years.
Yeah, a couple of years. I meant what I said. And now he brings in Lehner. I mean, you needed some goaltender.
They needed a goalie.
Good Lord, you needed a goaltender there.
This team was a mess when he took over, and this team's going to continue to be a mess.
But how do they get better with Matt Martin?
They don't.
Thank you.
That's the thing. They don't.
Are they tanking?
Probably.
Are they trying to make sure they don't win any shootouts while they're at it?
Shade. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that with that Leonard's everything, because you know how I feel about Leonard. You know why I like him.
I know.
But
I needed to throw some shade.
Somehow, I think that I probably is throwing away this coming year. Maybe Lamoriello is tanking the Islanders to try to get Jack Hughes as a new franchise center for this team to replace Tavares.
He's got Barzal.
Does have Barzal. But maybe he's also going to try to get Jack Hughes.
Maybe. Okay. Frank.
Still got Jordan Eberle, too.
Frank.
Yeah.
We should have brought Louis in for this.
Because
you know where I'm going.
It's 4th of July, man.
Well, you know where I'm going next.
B-ball.
Does anything matter anymore?
In the NBA?
This year? does this year just get written off as like a tax break or something for everyone?
I mean, until another NBA team has a 4 superstar team.
Until the NBA has an 8-man rotation along the lines of Curry, Thompson, Green, Durant, Cousins. Oh, and by the way, your bench has Iguodala and Bell and Livingston.
But also remember, two Cousins won't be playing until like January, February.
Okay, so they have a 7-man rotation that has 7 of the 8 players that I mentioned. And Cousins is literally the 5th best player. That's horrifying.
To be fair, though, too, this is all other 29 teams' fault.
Cousins in itself, yes.
Yeah.
Golden State was still a favorite before this.
Yeah. So
because they still had a 7-man rotation that I just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't lose any. They weren't going to lose anyone.
They weren't losing anyone.
So they were still going to be the favorite. And then they're like, you know, hey, no other team decided to sign Boogie. All right, we'll do it. Yeah. Yes, we know about the injury. But we're Golden State.
We're willing to take this chance because we're still great without them.
We can take the chance because look at us already.
Yeah.
And then look at us when he's healthy.
The one thing I will always give Golden State credit for is that they developed 3 of their star players. They drafted and developed 3 of them in Curry, Clay, and Draymond.
Yep.
Durant made them unstoppable.
Yeah. And now he's back for 2 years.
And now, I could write off the next 2 years in the NBA. Really. Until I see what the Lakers are capable of doing for next year, this year's a wash. Until I can see what the Lakers can do next year. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and credit Golden State for 2 championships here.
Yeah.
If they have 5.
I mean, if the Lakers do get Kawhi,
then things can change.
Then things can change.
I don't think it'll change this year.
No.
But it could change the next year. But we'd still be looking at 4 championships in 5 years for Golden State if that were the case.
Yeah.
And if they get 5 of the next 6, I mean, 5 of 6 here. It's just like, come on.
It's over. It's just long over.
Hit the reset button.
Just do a fantasy draft.
Fantasy draft the entire league.
The league starts over.
The league starts over.
No.
Move all the contracts to different owners. Mass hysteria.
Can I throw a hot take out there?
Before you do.
Okay.
I have one way of fixing all of this.
Sure.
Hard salary cap. Like all of the other leagues
that have salary
instead
cap.
Instead of having a soft one where you could pay a luxury tax or not, billionaires don't tend to blink when your league is making money.
Yeah.
Just put a hard salary cap in. It ain't that hard.
Yeah. Can I throw my hot take out there?
Yes.
Is this the media's fault?
Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
Okay.
Because everyone says wins important. QB wins, the most laughable stat track in football. Championship rings is the worst thing that you could do to try to compare someone to another in a team sport.
Okay. Plus minus is the worst stat in hockey.
This is the app. Frank, you are on fire with your hot takes because you're nailing them.
Yeah.
Because they're logical.
And the weather has nothing to do with it.
And you're absolutely right about all of this.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah, it's the media's fault. Dumb. It's 100% the media's fault. Because now you get guys like Durant and now Cousins ring chasing.
Yep.
looking for jewelry yep. because it helps cement their
legacy
in the game.
Yep.
I'm so happy Dirk Nowitzki got a ring.
Yeah.
And he got it on his own with a Dallas team against LeBron and the Heat.
Yeah.
Because if not, the man would have been truly forgotten.
Or he would have bolted to another team.
No, because he never did.
Well, but I'm saying if they lost.
I don't know. Nowitzki kind of seemed like that kind of guy that would stay there forever, no matter what.
But probably, yes, having the ring does help. Maybe at least he gets traded to another team.
Maybe over the last 3 years, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
But again, you get these guys ring chasing because the media goes ahead and portrays that the rings are the most important thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me how great Dan Marino is and how many rings he's got.
Yeah.
Go tell me how underappreciated Philip Rivers is.
Yeah.
But guess what? He'll never be like Eli Manning. Why? Because QB wins and rings. Spare me. This is no doubt the media's fault, and the rest of the world has to suffer for it. The rest of the sports world has to suffer for it. But it's also the fans' fault, because the media wouldn't be talking more about it if fans didn't think that that was the best way to compare, most notably, Jordan versus LeBron.
True.
If you wanted to have the topic, well, one of the biggest counterpoints is rings.
Yeah.
Forget that they played different eras of basketball, played two different positions in the game itself.
Yeah.
All they want to do is track the rings. It's the greatest, laziest way to get it done. So, to the fans that hate what's going on, shut the hell up about the Jordan versus LeBron debate then. I'm not kidding.
No, it's true.
If you're like me and you have a problem with what's going on in the NBA and how there is maybe two teams that can win it all, and they're both in the West, Golden State, Houston, and you don't necessarily watch the game because of it,
it's a problem.
Then also be like me and not track the rings in the count when you're trying to talk about LeBron and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways here.
Yeah.
Because you're part of the problem if that's the case. That's how it goes. Okay. I am sick of hearing about it. About this, he's got to have more rings. Or he could just be appreciated for who he was anyway.
Or he can just, be the best player. Because he is.
He's the best player in this era.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Like
Michael Jordan was the best player in his era. Like Wilt Chamberlain was the best player in his era.
LeBron, let's be real, LeBron literally might be the best player ever. He might be. I know Jordan, but...
And you want to know why the problem is there?
He might be.
And here's why there's so much resistance on it. It's because LeBron went ring chasing. The way he did it, very infuriatingly the first time when he headed to Miami.
Oh, sure, but...
Made him a villain.
At the same...
And people did not forgive him in the public perception for it.
But at the same time, though, that move proved that he couldn't do it by himself, because no one can.
And
that
Jordan
even
never,
Jordan couldn't do it by
Jordan
himself.
Jordan never did.
Jordan needed Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen.
He had Steve Kerr coming off the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, but you're right.
Paxton.
It took even the best in a team. That's why it's team sports.
But yet they always want to go back.
You can't do it one. It can't be one player.
And yet media and fans go back to, how many rings does this guy have? Well, why don't we look at the team and find out? Why don't we look at the scenario that's playing out around them and find out?
I mean, Joe Montana is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But look who he had. He had the best receiver of all time.
Roger Craig was one of the better running backs in that time as well.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lott was one of the fiercest safeties to play the game on the other side of the ball.
Yeah.
It's a team sport at the end of the day.
And yes, Montana was great. He is one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
And unfortunately,
is he the best? That should be debatable, and it can't because of guys like Dan Marino. Marino never won.
Nobody considers
him one of the best, and that's why people say Brady's the best of all time because of how many rings he's won.
I mean, to be fair,
Brady has done great things. Yes,
Brady has done great things. Brady's done great things with less.
Yes,
which kind of makes it a little more of an open case.
I won't doubt that. But I think this is one where you do need to look at the stats too, and the teammates as well. You could argue Marino did just as much with less talent than Brady did.
Yeah.
Yes, Brady has had times where he hasn't had the talent as well, but then he's had the talent as well.
Hell, he lost with the talent.
Yeah. 18-1.
He lost with the superstar receiver in the record-setting offense.
Yeah.
Greatest of all. Okay, I'm not going to facetiously make fun of that.
You
have to look at everything.
Yeah, you do. You do have to look at Dominic Hasek.
That man didn't win a cup.
Until he got traded to Detroit.
He got traded and where he
to a legit team.
That had Stevie Y, Shanahan, Chelios, Lidstrom.
Yeah. Rafalski.
They had Rafalski then too?
Jeez. I think so. I think Luke Robitaille was on that team too.
My case in point. Maybe
Brett Hall, honestly. I think Brett Hall was on that team as well.
Ugh.
Nah, maybe it was. I think it was later.
No, you might be right. I'm just shunning at the name.
I know. But it literally.
It's literally a natural reaction.
I mean, but Hasek with the Sabres, is he not the best goaltender ever because of what he did?
Yeah. But then if you wanted to look at the cups.
He didn't win with the Sabres. It took him going to a super team in Detroit. The literal empire in Detroit for him to win twice.
But if you look at Brodeur and Brodeur the Devils.
Won 3 times with the Devils. Brodeur was great. Had
Scott Stevens. And
Scott Niedermeyer. I know Rafalski played for the Devils,
played for the Devils during their cups. Scott Gomez.
Yeah.
Brian Gionta.
Gio was after they won, I think.
He still won a cup with them.
I don't think so. I think he came after. Maybe his rookie year.
Yeah, that's what I think it was.
It may have been his rookie year. I know Gomez was on that team. Patrick Elias was on that team.
Patrick Elias, Peter Sikora.
Yeah, Jason Arnott.
It's like we're labeling off players that were good.
Yeah. And then Hasek on the Sabres. I mean, they had good players. Chetan.
Chetan.
Shevik was good. But it's like...
Dixon Ward was playing on their first line. No, they didn't have good players.
But the difference is...
Nothing against Dixon Ward.
Yeah, nothing against Dixon Ward. The difference is, though, those 90 Sabres, those are bottom 10 teams without Hasek.
The 99 Sabres, yeah.
Like, all of those teams. Even the one that won the division that year, in 97. Honestly, you watch those highlights, they're not that good.
Yeah, no.
They just...
Maybe rings are a team stat and not a player stat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look at Peyton Manning and how management managed to shoot themselves in the foot by never giving the man a defense that was worth a damn.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want about last year. Oh, hey, last year Brady didn't win a Super Bowl and their defense was poop.
Yeah.
And more times than not, their defense was at least average. At worst.
When they won.
When they would win.
Yeah. Neat.
Riddle me that. But then Belichick ships off every defensive talent. They turn into a turnstile this past season. And then Nick Foles hangs 40-plus on them. Tell me where the shock is supposed to be there. Tell me how it's supposed to be all about one guy.
Yeah.
When you have a backup quarterback that was exiled from the freaking Rams because Jeff Fisher doesn't know how to coach.
True.
And willingly took a backup job in Philadelphia instead of trying to prove himself more.
and then ended up doing that.
And you lost to a backup. Carson Wentz might have hung 50 on your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. In all honesty, yeah. And he would have won MVP, too.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Hell, if Nathan Peterman started against the Patriots defense over the Chargers defense, he wouldn't have thrown 5 picks in the first half.
It's true. Okay. I think you're going.
So again, I'm striking a little far left, but it's to prove my point that reeling this all back in, quit making rings and wins an individual stat because it never is, never will be. You want to talk about wins being important for an individual? And you want championships to be something about an individual? How about LeBron James' Eastern Conference championship this past year?
Yeah.
They don't get out of the first round without him, making plays at the end of games.
Yeah.
And even throughout the series. They sweep the Raptors without him doing what he did.
And they don't beat Boston without him.
And they don't get out of Boston without him. Because that team was not good. Further complicated by Kevin Love getting a concussion.
And that just circles back to why I do think LeBron is the best player of all time. Because Jordan never did that.
And remember, LeBron and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love still needed a solid trio. Beat a team that went 73-9. Then that 73-9 team went ahead and doubled down and got the best pure scorer in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they won one playoff game against them since.
Just one.
So again,
boy,
you are exactly right, Frank.
That's all circles back to.
It's all the media's fault.
It's all circles back to.
And to a lesser extent, it is fans' fault for making that a discussion point.
Sure, that too. But it all circles. But what does it all circle back to? I'm right.
All right, slow down. But there it is. And that's why the NBA to me is not going to matter this year. Because the Warriors still have that team.
Yeah.
And they added DeMarcus Cousins.
Even if it's only for like half a year.
But you saw it. The Warriors got their health back against the Spurs. And then they were not to be trifled with. Then Chris Paul proved that he was the MVP of the Rockets by getting himself injured.
Yeah.
And the Rockets couldn't close out the Warriors then. That Warriors team just got stronger.
So much.
That's the point on this.
Yeah.
That's the part that sucks. This has been the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
Before we go, the 11-day power play starts tomorrow.
It does start tomorrow.
I am 8 days away from skating for 4 hours.
Yes.
Knee's feeling great.
Good. That's good.
Good to go. Been given a clean bill of health. And I also got lucky. But please, 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 please donate to the cause. All proceeds, they go to Camp Good Days, Make-A-Wish Western New York, and, of course, for cancer research at Roswell Park. So, and, of course, go out there. Enjoy your friend, your family member, your coworker going out there playing for 4 hours.
Yeah.
These guys, they love the support. Let's be real here. I'm not going to play 4 hours in front of nobody. I already tried to do that. It was fun still. But it's going to be more fun playing in front of people.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Looking like an absolute dope. I've got celebrations I got to break out,
Frank. Is it going to be live streamed?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I hope it. I hope someone does.
Yeah, because you're not going to be there when we play.
I won't be there. I'm going to be...
You're gonna be on vacation.
Out in the cottage. Yeah.
You're gonna be on vacation.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun.
It'd be cool to at least watch it.
It'd be fun to stop by, say hello, and take in some hockey. I mean, Harbor Center, it's a fun place to be. It's a cool place to be, especially in this heat.
Yeah.
Back off. But I will tweet out my link for the 11-day power play at Derek Kramer WGR. Frank will probably share it. He's at Frank R. Curie.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get to my goal without having to eat a hard-boiled egg. That'd be great. Or get into a dog bite suit. I would rather not.
Would you do the one chip challenge if it means reaching your goal?
No.
Fine then.
Frank, I want to be able to live to see myself play 4 hours. That'd be great. I know what that is.
I know. That's why I asked.
Honestly, I might just take a kick to the gonads if it helps me get another $100.
I'm thinking about that.
If you have any ideas on how to help me raise a couple of extra bucks for what is a great cause, putting the fight against cancer, please, by all means, tweet it at me. I'm ready for it.
My suggestion is the one chip challenge.
No,
and
I want to
tweet
be able-
at and tweet at me or Derek if you agree.
I would like to be able to play hockey.
You can still play.
Frank.
It's not going to kill you.
You can't play with irritable bowels.
Who said you had to do it right before you play?
But that kind of shit, bro? You're going to put me in that much pain?
How about this? You raise the money. You do it after.
Just give me a swift kick instead.
We'll film you eating the chip after the 11-day power play, after the 4 hours.
Speaking of filming things, I was thinking about putting a GoPro on my helmet for this and, you know, capturing the magic. But it would definitely not be suitable for work. The words probably said. Because I know that at one point I'm going to wipe out and I'm going to drop a curse there and it's going to happen.
But that's what editing's for.
Frank, I don't have that time.
But that's why you have me.
Okay, now I'll think about it again.
Okay, because I also have the means of editing.
Yes. I'm still thinking about slapping the GoPro on just to have it as a video and share it amongst the players that play.
You should do it.
I think I will.
Okay.
You talked me into it.
Cool.
So we might be able to release this.
You might have to do the one-chip challenge now.
No. I'm talking about releasing a video of us playing in the 11-day power play via a first person. But either way.
What if I do the one-chip challenge with you?
Was this like Howard having to pick the bills?
Maybe.
If they raised enough money?
Maybe.
We'll think of something, okay? How's that?
Okay.
Thank you for listening on this 4th of July Independence Day edition of the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
And as they always say, make sure you don't JPP it out there. Be safe.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.